Reading this morning from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy, for merchants from around the world will come to you. They will bring you the wealth of many lands. Vast caravans of camels will converge on you, the camels of Midian and Ephah. The people of Sheba will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshiping the Lord. Epiphany Sunday is often about light, because Epiphany means like a revelation. So it's like walking into a dark room and hitting a light switch, and suddenly everything that was dark is now lit. Epiphany. I began to think then about the source of light, and maybe you're familiar with Genesis, in the beginning. And I wondered if you've ever wondered how God created light before God created the sun and the moon and the stars. Because the sun and the stars are created on day 4, but it is day 1 that we read in scripture, then God said, let there be light. And it was so. And God separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. It's not until verse 14, when God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. And it was so. And God made 2 great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. And this was day 4. Now, with the help of scripture, we're going to determine what actually was created on day 1. Now, the Apostle John wrote in his first letter, 1 John 1:5, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. John also revealed in the vision shown to him in Revelation 22:5 that in the city of God, that is the new Eden, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of a sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. God is light. So I propose that on the first day of creation, God just let his light shine. I imagine it as this explosion of light coming from God that just flooded the cosmos. Science describes light as luminous, radiant energy. It travels with varied wavelengths, each one connected to a color. And when the light hits our eye, it makes everything visible. Imagine. God says, let there be light, and then God just radiates his luminous, radiant energy into the nothingness and lights it up. This light is what lights heaven today. And this is the light that will have, that will light up the new Eden. And this is the light that is placed in each of us as believers. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then later on, speaking to his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to them, you are the light of the world. And you see, if Jesus is the light of the world and we are in Christ, then, well, by extension, we too are the light of the world. John the Baptist said he came to testify to this light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. This true light is a supernatural light, a divine light from God, more powerful than the natural light of the sun, and able to shine everywhere, revealing truth and bringing hope. This light is in us, placed there by Christ so that we can shine. Our actions and our lives are supposed to shine this light that points to God. Jesus said, "Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." It's more than just doing good things. I mean, non-believers do good things. They care for the poor. They build hospitals and schools in poor countries. They help fund and drill wells in Africa. There are many people who do good things who are not Christians. And although these deeds are good things, they are not the same as the good works that God's followers are to do, because they don't point to God. But a Christian's good works are supposed to point to God. Motivation matters to God, and our motivation should be about bringing honor to God by pointing to his glory. He's the source of the light. He's the source of the goodness within us. There are many reasons people do good things. Some to gain a good reputation, others to gain influence. Some do good things because they feel guilty about their own personal wealth and they want to kind of spread it around. Some have like a survivor's guilt and they want to give back to the system that helped them. And I'm not saying that any of these things are wrong. They're just different motives. What I'm saying is that none of these things, none of those reasons point to God. And in the Bible, God's glory is spoken about a lot. And glory is a very complex term. In both the Hebrew and the Greek, glory refers to God's tangible presence, his intrinsic worth, his dazzling splendor and majesty, his excellence. And it also refers to the honor and praise God deserves. So as we let our inner light shine, while we do good works, we bring honor and praise to God, who is the source of the light in the first place. Believers should be visible witnesses, like a city on a hill or a lamp on a stand, letting their good deeds shine that they might point others to a good God. We don't do good things because we are good. We do good things because God is good. And he has given us his supernatural light to shine. Jesus told his followers that through their actions and lives, they were to bring this light to the world. Just as Jesus, who is the ultimate source of light, did. We are to be imitators. Jesus was constantly doing good things and saying things that glorified the Father. He was making known that the purpose of his deeds was to glorify God. And we should do the same. When a Christian does a good deed but keeps the knowledge of God out of it, God is not glorified. This good thing done is not shining a light that is pointing to God. It is not bringing God glory. So for example, suppose a Christian person funded and built a shelter for the homeless, but refused to connect it to their faith or to Christ, to reduce the chance of opposition from the public. What they did is still a good thing, but But it doesn't glorify God. They've actually removed God out of it and stifled any blessing that God could put upon it. This happens a lot in charitable events because Christianity has a bit of a bad reputation. People are suspicious. And so we think we're doing a good thing by hiding the Christianity in it. But we're removing God from it. We need to be bold witnesses. For who else will testify to the goodness of God but the church? And since this light is in us, our Christianity should be visible. Paul explained it like this in Ephesians 5. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Don't be afraid of the darkness. But be bold in your light. And don't be afraid to let others know the source of your light is found in Christ. So we don't have to work at being in the light, we're in it. Now this passage that we read from Isaiah 60 is a prophecy, but it's not about the Messiah's birth. It is about the time to come after, leading up to Christ's return. Let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. The glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will see your radiance. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy. This is a message to the church that we are to be radiant. We are to be attractive to those seeing the light. In the same way that the church caught the attention of Constantine, who declared Christianity, the once brutally persecuted church, to be the official faith of the Roman Empire. God, the source of light, has given us his light that we might prepare the way of the Lord, as John the Baptist did. Jesus is coming again. How shall he find us? Hidden under a bushel basket or under a bed? Or will he find us on the candlestand giving light to the entire house? Will he find us boldly shining the luminous, radiant energy of God that Christ put in us? It is the duty of every Christian to reflect the light of Christ in this world so that they may see our good deeds and glorify our Heavenly Father. Go now guided by the light of Christ, who has been revealed to all nations and peoples, and may the glory of God shine upon you, drawing you ever closer to the one we seek and adore. And as the Magi followed the star, may you follow Jesus with faith, courage, and joy, bearing his light into places of darkness, his hope into weary hearts, and his love into a waiting world. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you now and forever.